Welcome back to Sisters in Christ podcast, where we open God's Word together and seek the kind of wisdom that shapes not only how we think, but how we live before the Lord. I am pleased to have in studio with me my co-host, Pamela Ferguson.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Pam. Today, we turn to chapter 11 of the book of Proverbs, a chapter that speaks powerfully about integrity, humility, generosity, and the lasting beauty of a life that honors God. One of the great themes running through Proverbs is this: God cares deeply about character, not just what people see on the outside, but who we are when our lives are measured by His truth. Because in a world that often celebrates success, influence, and recognition, Scripture reminds us that God evaluates life very differently. He delights in honesty when no one else is watching. He honors humility in a culture that promotes self-promotion. He values kindness, generosity, and righteousness, even when they seem unnoticed by the world. Proverbs shows us that wisdom is not merely about gathering knowledge. Wisdom is about the kind of person we are becoming as we walk with God. Today, we're going to explore what it means to walk with integrity in a world that often rewards shortcuts, and why the path of righteousness, though sometimes harder, is the path that leads to life. So get your coffee, your tea, your hazelnut latte, my fave, and join Pam and I as we explore the wisdom in Proverbs chapter 11. Pam, I'm loving Proverbs.
You know, I was just thinking that, and I was about to say that I am enjoying this journey tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it's like a mirror. It's like a mirror. I mean, we are here talking about it just to encourage our friends, but I'm holding up this mirror to my life as well.
Yes.
And I am grateful to God for what He is revealing to me that I need to work on.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for His loving kindness and His tender mercies that He doesn't write me off. Say no, Pop.
He's so
like
grateful,
with all of us, His grace is so sufficient.
It is.
That when we have a heart for God and realizing that God, that we are humble enough to say, yeah, I could do better in this area of my life, He is open to that, and I'm grateful to God. I'm loving this journey. I'm loving this journey.
It's something about this book that is just reshaping my heart in a very real way. And then I realize that I'm desiring
more of it
and praying that the Holy Spirit just transform me.
Yeah.
You know, all of these little nuggets that are coming out so sharp.
Yes.
And I love the comparison of the righteous and the wicked. Yeah. So if you're not doing this and you're doing that, then where are you?
Yeah.
Are you righteously living, or are you living like the wicked? Check yourself.
So, and the simple everyday stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we go to life and sometimes the way we handle people is not the best. And, you know, I used to be very frustrated with driving, right? When I see people so easily disobey the rules of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue with my horn. I would, you know, press my horn. And I'm finding now that, you know, I'm a bit more patient. Not that I like what they're doing, but I'm not going to bother by using my horn to argue with them. And so I appreciate this journey. So I just want to encourage anybody out there, if you want to get on this journey with us and look at the book of Proverbs, and maybe it's difficult for you to find the time to sit down and read an entire chapter of Proverbs, just load the Bible up. And let it play
let
in
it
your
play.
Hearing.
Let it play. I love doing that. That's actually very calming for me.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, we're in Proverbs chapter 11. Mm-hmm. And when we look at verse 1, it says, "Dishonest scales are detestable to the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong word.
Yes.
Detestable.
Yes.
What does this teach us about how seriously God views honesty in everyday dealings?
You know, when I saw this dishonest scales, I was like, what is this, God? And that's why I so like the Bible apps and the ChatGPT, because, you know, we talked about it, smart, work smarter.
Yes.
And so these, because if you read the King James Version or even some of these translations, it doesn't help you with it,
yeah.
Right? You have to dig a bit deeper to get an understanding of it. And so I went looking, and they said that dishonest scales was when merchants manipulate the weights, because you know you had to measure everything, and so they would go and manipulate the weight in order to cheat the customers. So,
wow.
And that's the literal meaning of the dishonest scale. But the meaning for today is any form tomorrow of deception or unfairness to gain an advantage.
Yeah.
When you cheat to gain an advantage. Mm-hmm. What does it says? It is detestable to the Lord.
Yeah. Well,
see, because integrity reflects the character tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Of God. And he wants us to be honest, like we mentioned in our last episode, in every area and in every mm-hmm. aspect of our lives. Mm-hmm. Honesty in business. See, sometimes we think honesty and the character of God is only applicable in church or when we're doing spiritual things. No, everyday things. Honesty in our business and our daily interactions. He wants us to reflect his nature and justice on the earth by living in integrity.
Yes. Another version says it's an abomination. And it's one of the strongest terms we can find in scripture. It's deeply offensive.
Yeah.
It's morally repulsive to the Lord. And God does not see dishonesty as small or acceptable. Even subtle deception is serious in the sight of the Lord. Cheating, misrepresentation, and manipulation. These things grieve the Lord. Now, we don't hear these phrases often in our sermons because they cut to the very core of who we are. It cut to the core.
And a lot of times what happens is, you know, when we do things that we are not supposed to do, but we justify our behavior.
Yeah.
You know, a few years ago, I know of somebody who was dismissed for stealing by reason of employment. And when asked why they did it, they said they were promised a raise and never got it.
Wow.
So they went and stole because they were promised a raise, but didn't get justifying mm-hmm. their wrongdoing. And that's what we do a lot. We do things that are not pleasing in the eyes. And I'm talking to us as Christians mm-hmm. who say we are Christians. Do things that are not pleasing to God, but then we justify it, that it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to compromise here. It's okay to compromise here. That's a small thing. God doesn't see it as sin. But in God's eyes, it is sin. And when we continue to do those little small things that are against the character and the principles of God, they are the things that shape our character and lead us on that path of unrighteousness.
Yeah. In contrast to dishonesty, honesty brings God's delight.
Mm-hmm.
A just weight is his delight.
Yes.
He takes pleasure in truthfulness. He is pleased when we deal fairly and uprightly. And integrity reflects his very own character.
Okay, yeah.
So basically, honesty is not about just avoiding wrongdoing. It is about bringing joy to God.
Yes, and doing what is right.
It pleases him. And boy, we get ourselves in trouble in the small things, you know, because what we decide to do is we want to get the advantage. And so therefore, in getting the advantage, that's when we deal treacherously towards another. And dealing treacherously towards another, that's a heart of greed. It's a heart of there's no heart of compassion, especially in business, if you want to take advantage of somebody.
And you know, sometimes, Tamara, it sometimes can feel like doing the right thing doesn't get you where you need to get as fast as you think you should get there.
Right.
So we feel like that person who is over there and living dishonestly, we feel like, well, maybe I need to do something in order to get ahead because it seemed to be going so slow. But the reason why God's word says is this dishonesty is detestable to him because he wants to let us as believers know, don't do it. I'm not pleased with it. And see, what Proverbs and this study reminds me is that our faith is not just about worship. Yes, it's about our worship to God.
Yeah.
But it's how we conduct everyday dealings, where we how we interact with each other in our business. If you're a business owner, are you dealing fairly? God has no problems with work.
No.
He has no problem
or
with
trade.
You having business.
Watch for
yeah.
No.
You know, I found the scripture that was in Proverbs chapter 11. I found that that was so, it was enlightening to me. I thought it was interesting. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26, the people curse him who holds back grain, mm-hmm. but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Now, the reason why that was interesting to me, because I would have thought, but blessing is on the head of him who gives it away. Mm-hmm. But he sells it. God has no problem with business and you being in business and you prospering in business. He just wants us to deal fairly. He has no problems with us prospering, but he does not want us to get ahead by or get the advantage by being dishonest. Mm-hmm. You know something is wrong, but you engage in it anyhow.
Yeah.
And you build up yourself and build up your wealth. And then you look down at others who probably doing it the right way to make yourself feel that you're better. God said
important.
He it detested.
That's right. That's right. This reminds us that faith is not only about worship, but also about how we conduct our everyday dealings.
Yes.
We represent the Lord mm-hmm. as believers. Mm-hmm. We're righteous people. We're not wicked people. So God isn't expecting us to do the things that wicked people do.
Yeah.
He wants us to walk honestly and uprightly before him.
With integrity.
With integrity. And it shows his character to others and it represents him well.
And we're not secret agents. We're not secret agents. People could see it.
Secret agents on secret missions.
So if you are walking up honestly and with integrity on a daily basis, people will see it.
The light should be shining.
You know, I love when I go to a funeral because I like to listen to the As I Knew Them or when people talk about reflections. And I like to hear stories. And what impressed me is when you have like a few people from different walks of life coming together and saying good things about this mm-hmm. same person, then that tells me that's the life. Mm-hmm. that they have lived. But when you have to make it up, someone can say something over here, someone can say another thing over here, mm-hmm. it doesn't come together. But I love it when everything comes together and it shows me the type of life that that person lived on earth mm-hmm. was seen by all those that they come into contact with. That's what, to me, living with integrity and honesty.
In every sphere, not just your religious sphere,
yeah.
On your job,
everything.
What are they saying about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your neighborhood mm-hmm. convenience store, mm-hmm. what are they saying about you? Is everybody saying the same thing about you in every sphere mm-hmm. that shows your Christ-likeness, that reflects the love of God? Then we know that's integrity. You're walking in integrity, not hypocritically. Pam, Proverbs 11:2. Highlights the connection between humility and wisdom. Why does humility open the door for wisdom, while pride often leads people into poor decisions?
I'll read Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Mm-hmm. But with the humble is wisdom. See, pride can sometimes, well, I think most of the times, pride blinds us to our weakness. Mm-hmm. Because we think we have all the answers, And because we don't accept correction or the fact that we have maybe made a mistake, we are blinded. And so we repeat that thing that we should not do. Pride comes before the fall. And so it's so important, that humble spirit. And you know, I said this before, humility for me is not thinking less of myself, but just thinking less about me. It's not all about me. And also opening up ourselves to say, I don't have all the answers. And maybe I did something I should not have done, and know how to go back and say, we are sorry.
Yeah, it's when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. There's a clear spiritual principle here. Humility attracts wisdom, while pride sets the stage for poor decisions and eventually a downfall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a humble heart says, I don't know everything. I need God. Mm-hmm. He's the one who is all-knowing. It means we're teachable and open to correction, willing to seek counsel and listen, sensitive to God's leading. This kind of posture, when we talk about humility, creates space for God to speak to us and guide us. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's the scripture that says he rejects the proud. Mm-hmm. That's another strong word, to be rejected mm-hmm. by the Lord. But he gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. So we look at it and we can say, when we make decisions in pride, there comes regret in the long run, embarrassment, and he exposes us. That's why the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in his timing.
Yes.
In his timing.
Yes. And I think that that's where pride comes from. Us not acknowledging that it is God. It is he who has blessed us, give us what we have. It is God to acknowledge him.
Pride says, I've got this.
Yes, by my own hands.
My abilities.
Look at me. See what I have achieved? You want to be like me?
My knowledge. You know, all of these things that God gave us. Just take a look at Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But the thing I like about Nebuchadnezzar's story, right, was when God struck him down, he realized then. It took God having to make that drastic move for him to realize, because he was warned. He realized then, and then he repented after that time, and he started to serve God.
And don't you just love the Lord?
Yes.
He gave him a warning.
Yes.
He warned him before.
But so we say pride blinds us. It blinds us to our mistakes. So he didn't heed it. But then he did. He repented later on.
You got the dream. You got the answer to the dream. You begged to turn away from that kind of thinking. And you've gone on the roof and you felt yourself.
But isn't that like us sometimes?
It is.
That's like us today. You know, we get the warnings, the counsel, but we refuse to yield or heed it. And we continue on our path because we're blinded until God arrests us.
And we give God thanks in his word that we see the downfall, but we also saw through repentance and the returning, the uplifting.
Yes.
So God is
God. When I say to God, don't let me go there. I don't go, please, fix me now.
He's gracious and kind.
Fix me now. I don't want you to have to humble me to get my attention, God. No.
Nebuchadnezzar turned, but there are some who
don't humble me to get my attention, Lord. I yield to you right now.
Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Why do you think generosity and blessing often go hand in hand in God's design for life?
Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. You know what scripture also come to mind with generosity and prosperity? Give, and it shall be given back to you, full measure, pressed down, running over.
Shaken together.
Yes.
That song says.
So You know, this is a principle. See, our generosity isn't necessarily transactional, like I'm giving to you tomorrow because I want you to give back to me. No, we are being obedient to God. And because God is saying his word, when we water, when we bless, when we help, it will come back to us. And it doesn't have to come back the exact way that we gave it. But there's so many areas in our lives, in our work, in our relationships, God bring blessings and success in those areas. Because when we give tomorrow, we are in essence strengthening our communities. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people out there who are in need and they are hurting. And by you giving into their lives, you can change the trajectory of their lives by being obedient to God.
The scripture says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 11:25. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Water brings a flow to life. Generosity keeps life moving through us. Yeah. God blesses those who are channels of blessings that he gives us. We are channels. Yeah. We're stewards, and he's using us to be a blessing to someone else. You know, we say blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
And when we are generous, we reflect God's character.
Yeah.
And we partner with him for his purposes. He gives us power to get wealth,
yes,
to establish his kingdom here on earth. And we align with his heart. And so these are the principles. We encourage people when we give, and we are encouraged when people give to us.
Yes.
And when we show kindness, kindness is shown to us in return.
Yeah.
You know, they say, what you sow, you reap.
Yes, come back to you.
If you want to have friends, be friendly.
And that's scripture. That's biblical.
You know,
and Tamara, giving shifts our perspective, you know, because when we give, sometimes people hoard money because they're afraid it's going to run out.
That's
they're afraid
true.
if I give, then what's going to be left for me? But biblical principles and God's economy, God, the way that God's work, generosity helps us to focus less on the accumulation of wealth and more on stewardship. You said he give us the power.
Yes.
To get wealth. He doesn't mind us being wealthy, but he blessed us to be a blessing. He wants us to give into the lives of other people. Let's not focus on hoarding the wealth. And I'm saying this, don't let anybody pressure you to give either.
No.
Give us your heart desire. If there's someone approach you, but you're not feeling it, then don't do it.
Yeah, the
don't
Bible
feel
says
guilty.
Not out of compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver.
So this is not to intimidate people to just give everything away. No, you let God use you. But the principle here is wealth is not to be hoarded, but God expects us to be generous and to give into people's lives so that we will be good stewards of that which he has blessed us with.
Yes. Psalm Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them. How does integrity act as an internal compass when navigating difficult choices? It's a great way to kind of wrap up this podcast. We started with integrity.
See, to me, integrity provides a clear standard. When we commit to honesty and righteousness tomorrow, our decisions become clearer. There's no doubt. If something is there and it does not belong to you, I don't care what options are out there. When you commit to honesty and integrity, the only choice is leave it alone. No stealing, no cheating. You know, there was a survey recently released by UB about our sweethearting culture. And I thought to myself, see that word, sweethearting, it softens what is actually happening. It makes it seem acceptable.
Stolen,
right?
What is a sweet?
Yeah. Sweethearting. Mm-hmm. It's adultery. Mm-hmm. It's adultery. And it is not right. When you live a life of honesty and integrity, there's no question. If you are married, you're not supposed to be there. Plain and simple. When we have strong decisions or difficult decisions to make, Our strong moral principles help us to stay grounded and do the right thing according to the principles of God's word and his character.
Yeah, it's a simple question. Mm-hmm. What is right before God?
Yes.
Not what is easiest, not what is most beneficial, or what will even please people. Mm-hmm. So integrity cuts through confusion and gives us a clear path, even when it's a harder one.
Yes.
Integrity basically means your values, your beliefs, your actions. These should all be in alignment. I think something or believe something and I do something else. You know, I was listening to a short clip from Dr. Miles Monroe, and he said, trials test your conviction. I believe God is this.
Yeah.
I believe God. And when that trial comes, let's test that.
Yeah.
Let's see if you say you really believe what you believe. And I think it's the same thing with it shows our integrity,
yeah.
Really. Job held fast to what? His integrity, his belief that God is God. And even though I'm going through all of these hard circumstances, children gone, cattle gone, oxen gone, servants gone, wife doing the fool.
What would you do? Hold fast.
Is
what Job taught us to do. Run. And Joseph.
Joseph too.
Yeah, run.
Integrity.
Held to his integrity. You have to escape.
I love that to end with. Hold fast.
Yes.
To your integrity. Pam, close us in prayer, please.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for reminding us that integrity matters to you. Help us, Father, to live honestly, walk humbly, and treat others with generosity, Father, and kindness. Strengthen us to stand firm in righteousness, Father, even when the world encourages compromise. May our lives reflect your truth, Father, and your wisdom. And God, guide us daily and help us to grow into people who honor you in every area, Father, of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.